could I obey in the Bible that would save me? Now just give me one verse, just one verse, that you guarantee would for me that I'd be saved if I obeyed it. I'd give them Acts 2:38. Yes, I really believe it.
Thank
you. Now if a saint of God would say, Brother Glass, I know we have a whole Bible, but I want you to give me one verse that will guarantee me to be saved when I come to the end. I'd give them the verse that I'm going to share with you this morning. And it's not, I don't need all the verse. It's just a few words. It's in Jude 21, 21st verse of Jude. And only six, seven words. Now, brother, I'm not closing the Bible. Oh, we're going to study it all. But I said, if I was to be asked, give me one verse that would assure me salvation at the end of the road. If you missionaries wanted me to give you one verse of Scripture that'll keep you on the mission field and really give you a successful ministry, I'd give you this verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Isn't that simple? You won't have to go home and get a dictionary to understand any word in this verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And nobody can do that for you. There is so much depending on ourselves that we don't take the responsibility of. You know, a lot of people pray and ask God to humble me. You better not do that. Don't never pray and ask God to humble you. You know, you don't know what you're asking for. You better do what the Bible said. You better humble yourselves. Just humble yourself. I've seen God humble people. I've seen them when they were proud and stiff and starchy. I've seen them down by the bedside of a dying baby, humble, brother. Yes, sir. And Scripture, actually, Peter concluded his sermon as far as Prince concerned on the day of Pentecost. Many other words did he exhort, saying, save yourselves. So if you'll keep, just lay your hand on yourself and keep yourself loving God, that'll take care of everything else in the world. Paul said, I keep under my body, bringing under subjection, lest by any means after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. Keep yourselves. And the love of God is all there is that can keep you. The law failed. Good environments failed. You think you're going out in bad environments? I don't think you're going to be in much worse environments than our own people live in America. We've lost. We've Too long ago we lost title of Christian America. We've lost it. Our little old children in school meet things that maybe yours won't meet in your school. All it'll keep is the love of God. Environments won't do it. Law wouldn't do it. Law didn't keep Adam and Eve. And I'll tell you something else. Environments didn't keep Adam and Eve. Environments didn't. I don't think anyone ever lived any more beautiful surroundings, any more beautiful environments than Adam and Eve had. Beautiful. Beautiful. Visitation from God periodically, and all their needs supplied. He didn't have to earn one bite to eat for the sweat of his brow. I can think of no one that had any more beautiful environments than Adam and Eve had to live for God. But beautiful environments and a command not to do won't keep you. But the love of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of people have a lot of trouble with loving the world. The world, the world, the world. I've got to where I kindly had a preacher's seminar in Louisiana a couple of 3 weeks ago. And I preached 2 or 3 times in this preacher's seminar to the preachers. And I told them that I blame the pulpit for so much that's instilled in the hearts of the people. We'll get up here and shout loud to the top of our voice, "You have to give up the world to serve God." How many of you ever heard that? It has a psychological effect in that subconscious mind. I've got the world. I've got the world. When in reality, how much of it do they have to give up? We ought to give it like the Bible does. All you have to do is give up the love of the world. You don't have much of the world. It's just a love and a lust after the world. I've seen people that didn't have hardly enough of this world to live a comfortable life, but still couldn't give up the world to serve God. I didn't give up nothing to serve. I read a late holiness preacher, some of you heard of him maybe years ago, old Uncle Buddy Robinson. He was a renowned preacher of his day. He said, "All I ever gave up to serve God was an old rusty pistol, a deck of cards, and a cob pipe." And a lot of people, I've seen people just actually get up and testify in church how much they gave up, what a sacrifice they were making to serve God. Embarrassed me. Embarrassed me. I wouldn't want God to see a thought in my mind that I've sacrificed anything to be His child. How'd you like for your child to stand up in public and talk about what a sacrifice they've made to be your child? Praise the Lord. Well, God hears all of us talking about what hard time we have. Just like it's easy out there in the world. They're the ones that's having a hard time. It's the way of the transgressor that's hard. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Thank God He carries my burden. I cast it on Him. Leave it there. Praise the Lord. So my advice, parting advice, you never hear me again My parting advice would be, keep yourselves in the love of God. And if you love God, you'll not love this world. Because the love of the world and the love of God does not abide in the same heart. If you want to just get the world out, just love God. Just love the Lord. Love the Lord. Take control of yourself and love God. A man and his wife came in my study one time, and I, just like many pastors have, and I told one of our pastors this morning, Brother Rooks, and I look at you precious missionaries, and my heart goes out to you and with you, and tell you the truth, somewhat envious of you. Not as sympathetic maybe as I ought to be, more envious than anything else. But I said, these precious missionaries on the field, they don't know what our pastors are going through in the States. Pastoring a church today is so different from pastoring a church 20 years ago. And it'll take a pastor that's been preaching that long to tell you. This young couple came in for counsel. The young man looked at me and he said, Brother Glass, I don't love Jean anymore. Jean was his wife. I looked at him. I said, the Bible tells you to love her. He said, but I don't. I said, but the Bible teaches you love your wife. I took him back in the Old Testament when the men didn't even pick out their wives. Parents picked them out for them. Now this is your wife. Now you love her. Don't tell me you can't control your affection. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Love God. Just keep the love of God burning deep in your heart. You won't have no trouble with this old world. It won't even look enticing and tempting. It'll look empty and light and foolish because you've got a deep love. You have one for someone that just keeps you, holds you, ties you.
Praise the Lord.
Environments won't do it. You think you're going out there, bad environments, among a bunch of heathens. And let me tell you, I find it a lot easier to deal with somebody that don't know a thing in the world about God and the Bible. And I do some of these that's read it, and still won't have the truth. We got the problems here. We got problems. Yes, we have. And it takes loving God, loving the Lord, to overcome these things that gives us so much trouble. But when you really love the Lord, it makes a difference. I got a letter one time, maybe some of you did, from they call it a boys' village. And on the letterhead had a picture of a boy with one just about his size on his shoulder. It was shoulder. He's all stooped over and he was so weighted down. That other one was shoulders, feet wasn't even touching the ground. And underneath it said, heavy? No. No. He's my brother. He's my brother. So heavy? These burdens heavy? These trials hard? This work hard? No! No! It's for God. That takes the weight out of it. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I want to show you people in the Bible under the greatest environments a person could have. And lost out with God. Lost out. Lost out. I remember when George Jr. first started pastoring. This has been about 25 years ago now, and he's getting to be a old preacher himself. They were pastoring a rural church And I was for home missions director then and on the field. Back in those days, we did more driving than we did flying. And I was in that area, and I drove by the church and the parsonage. Had a beautiful parsonage inside the church, and just a lovely church. And I went in, and their oldest boy was just a baby then. And I picked him up, playing with him. And George Jr.'s wife, we call her Nett. Her name's Jeanette, but we call her Nett. He called me Dad. She said, "Dad," "I've never known George being so discouraged." Said he's more discouraged than I've ever known him to be. And said, "I'm worried." He wasn't there. She made some coffee, and I drank a cup of coffee, and I put the baby back in his bed. I went over to the church, and so to speak, in my prayer, I pulled off my coat and rolled up my sleeves, and I said, "Devil, you leave my boy alone. You've given us enough trouble. We've just gone through some of the most heartbreaking experiences anybody in the world could have." I said, "You've given us enough trouble. You've given him enough." Now, this is the essence of it, where I fell. "Jump on me. Come on. I challenge you. Get off of him." And, I stirred up. "Leave my boy alone. I was ready to fight his battle. I mean, I was ready." I stayed over there and prayed and sought God until I felt better, and went back to the house and visited a few more minutes, and he still hadn't come in. I said, "Ned, what is George so discouraged at? What's happened? What's the matter?" She said, "But Dad, you know Harvey Robinson." I said, yeah, he's a man in the church. He said, "It looks like in spite of everything in the world he can do, Harvey's going to backslide." Harvey had a farm, and he had stock, and George never gathered corn in his life. But he'd go out there and in the corn field and gather corn with him all day long. Gather corn. And trying to be with him and talk to him and get on a horse and run stock with him. And just spent twice as much time with him as he did anyone else. And this looks like he's going to lose him in spite of everything we can do. And said, "It's just to kill him. It's killing him." I said, "Is that it?" She said, "That's it." I said, "Is that all?" She said, "Yeah." Well, I said, "That's bad." And I stayed, but he came in, and we ate meal, and I may have spent tonight, I don't know. But anyway, while I was talking with him, I said, "Son, Ned told me about your discouragement and working with Harvey. He told me about it." "Yeah, Dad," said, "I don't know what in the world to do." I said, listen, this is your first experience. And I'm glad that it hurts you. I don't want you to ever be a pastor that can lose a soul and it not hurt you. I want it to hurt and hurt deep. I want it to. God help the pastor that can see people leave his church and not shed a tear. Help that pastor." I said, "I'm glad it's hurting you. I'm glad it is. But," I said, "keep this in mind. Forever keep this in mind, son. Just forever. Angels backslid in heaven. Adam and Eve backslid in the Garden of Eden. Judas backslid following Christ. Ananias and Sapphira backslid in the first church of Jerusalem. Demas backslid following Paul. And they're going to backslide following you. You're going to do it. Environments won't keep them. You can go out there in the field and gather corn all day with him. You can get on your horse and
run stock all day. You can move your bed over there and live in his house. That won't keep him. That won't do it. People don't love God. You couldn't lock them up in jail and make them live for God. It's got to have that love down deep. And when you got that love, it'll keep you. I mean, you won't meet no adversity, no trial, nothing but what the love of God is there. Ooh. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I mentioned that little missionary, unnamed missionary, in Naaman's house. I guess you folks think Brother Glass couldn't preach one for Naaman. Well, that's what he's in there for. So I'm taking advantage of it. She's taken a little slave. And not after no 2 weeks school of missions, a lot of training and experienced men to drill and train, and a missions director over her that spent his life out there. She didn't have that. She's taken a servant and a slave, but she kept the love of God in her heart. Sweet attitude, sweet spirit, sweet spirit. And in that house, away from God, away from mother, not away from God, away from daddy, away from people, away from a country that believed in God, down here in a heathenistic country, but the love of God kept her. I don't mean just kept her out of sin, kept her sweet. I tell you, there's a lot of people in the church that need the love of God to keep them sweet. Good attitude, good outlook. We got some of the sourest old somebody's sitting around in our churches. No preacher can please them. Sister Glass, she tells this on me sometime, just in a joking way. You probably heard it. Because I hope I'm not that cranky. Said there was a man so cranky his wife just couldn't get along with him. It's just nothing pleased. Not a thing in the world pleased. Nothing. She's telling her neighbor about it. The neighbor told her, said, some morning, get up and just kill him with kindness. Just anything he wants, you do it. Just anything. Just anything. And let it get it. It'll be a morning when you're feeling good and you feel like you can go through the whole day just down at his feet doing everything you can to please him. So one morning she tried it. She went to the bedroom door while he was dressing and said, honey, said, how many eggs you want this morning? Three. Said, how would you want them cooked? He said, fry one, scramble one, and boil one. She turned her back and thought, my. But she said, no, I'm gonna do it. She went in the kitchen and she scrambled one, fried one, boiled one. Put them on the plate and invited him in with the other things that he wanted. And he sat down and he looked at it. And he said, you boiled the wrong egg. Now we'll laugh about that, and that is laughable. But I've pastored people just about that cranky. Nothing in the world you could do would please them. You know what they need? Is a baptism of the love of God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me show you. I've mentioned these under good environments. Good environments. You look at Judas's associations. Look at him, his associates. Jesus, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew. Just look at all of those other 11 apostles. Spent 3.5 years with Jesus. Actually saw him raise the dead. May I help roll the stone away. Took bread and fish that grew and multiplied in the hands of Jesus. And he took it in baskets and served it to those that were hungry out here. My, what an experience! What blessings! And then he betrayed the Lord. That environment would not keep him. Would not do it. Won't do it. It just takes something besides an environment. It takes love. Love. And your service and dedication is going to be measured by your love. I read this one time, and I'm not saying it couldn't be true. I'm not saying it couldn't be true. In light of the Scripture. You know, the Lord ministered actually about 3.5 years. But all that he did, everything that he did was done in 70 days. And all the rest of his ministry, we have no record of it. No record of it. That's why John concluded his book, if everything Jesus did, I suppose the books of the world would not contain it. Only got a record of 70 days of his activity in the four Gospels. So this could have been true. It is said that Jesus and his disciples were walking across a field. They hadn't been cultivated in several years. And said rocks was covering the ground. And when I read that, it seemed hard for me to accept the fact that rocks had begun to cover in a vacant field. I grew up in the country, and you'd see them old, that old poor land lay out there. 40 years, and you wouldn't find a rock. But you go to Holy Land, you go to Israel, and you can believe that they will, because they do. Roll down the mountainside, anyway, they accumulate. And as they're walking across the field, Jesus said to the disciples, gather out the stones, why cumbereth they the ground? And every disciple got a stone in obedience. Every one of them. Said Peter, he saw a little smooth stone over here about the size of an egg. And he picked it up. Now he's obeyed. He's done what the Lord said, gather out the stone. But he's lost the purpose for gathering. People lose the purpose. Keep the purpose in mind. And John, known as the beloved disciple, he looked over here and saw a huge boulder that is covering much of the ground, kind of in a flat rock, but huge. And he gathered it up. And he said, they tugged along. Said, Peter was tossing his rock up and catching it like you would a little ball. Said, John, the further they went, the further behind he got with his burden. That old heavy stone tugging along with it, tugging along. Only his love for Jesus enabled him to carry that stone. He felt like, I can't go any further. And the love for Jesus kept him tugging on with that stone. And said they got on the opposite side of the field. And there was a shade tree. And said, Jesus stopped under the tree and waited till all the disciples gathered up. And they had to wait a few moments for John to get there with his huge boulder. And when John got there and they were all standing there with their stones, the Lord lifted his hands and blessed them and turned them into bread. Now don't say he couldn't do that. The devil said, if thou be the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Now the devil knew he could do it. So don't say he couldn't do it. And there Peter sat or stood with his little rock. And there was John with a big old huge boulder. Let me tell you, folks, our labor of love one of these days is going to be turned into rewards. Yes. Rewards.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
The love of God will keep you under your burden. It'll keep you going. It'll keep you going. Environments won't do it. No, no, no. But love will. Love will. Ananias and Sapphira, the first church in Jerusalem. I'm told it's somewhere around 85,000 members in this church at this time. So many they couldn't gather at one place to worship at the same time. They had to go in groups. That's the reason Ananias and Sapphira wasn't there in the same service. So many. But under those environments, under the ministry, all the apostles are still there. They haven't left Jerusalem. They're all still there. Under the ministry of all of those apostles, I wonder who's going to preach today, Peter, James, or John. I wonder who's going to preach in the service I'm attending. I just wonder. Boy, I'm going to hear one time, one the next. What ministry, what ministry, what ministry. But Ananias and Sapphira, backslid. That environment under such great soldiers of the cross. Men that walked with Jesus. Men that heard him teach and talk. And under that influence, it didn't keep them. Demas. Well, I think maybe he might feel like if Brother Sisson would visit me more often, I might make it. If Brother, my field supervisor would come by. Listen, if you don't love God, and Brother Sisson and your field supervisor were both sleeping in your same house with you, he wouldn't keep you. Wouldn't keep you. Oh, sir. Not who you associate with. It's who you serve and who you love. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I want to show you the love of God keeping them right in the very door of hell. I read after C.T. Studd, a great missionary. He said some people want to live within the sound of the church house bell, but give me a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Just before that person falls over into the flames of hell, that's where I want to establish my workshop. Praise God. Depending on no environment. Look at Joseph. Look what all he'd already gone through. His brothers have betrayed him and sold him as a slave. He saw them selling. Saw them looking at him, licking him, looking at him, selling him, getting their price. And he probably watched them as those Ishmaelites as heading down into Egypt with him. Joseph was watching his brethren, maybe calling on them and trying to get them to come and get him and help him. Oh, they took him out. Took him down into Egypt and sold him again. Potiphar, an officer in Egypt. But that man kept the right attitude. No matter what's happened to me, I'm not throwing in my credentials. No, sir. I'm not going to break my fellowship with my God. And then after he's in the house of Potiphar, for some length of time, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. Here he is, betrayed of his brothers. He knows his dad thinks he's dead, no doubt. As far as Israel's concerned, as far as my family's concerned, I am dead. And that possibly beautiful, attractive woman, God only knows how she decked herself. Officer's wife, jewelry, whatever she wanted, she had it. And her mind was made up. She was going to have Joseph. And Joseph's mind is made up. I'm not going to sin against my God. Don't tell me it takes environments. Oh, it don't take that. Laws won't do it. Environments won't do it. But if you go to the field with the love of God and you keep yourself in the love of God, keep yourself there. Keep yourself there. When you see yourself kind of losing that love, forget all somewhere and make love to Him again. Tell Him you love Him. Oh, I love to get off by myself. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And I like to put the thermometer on myself and take my spiritual temperature. The Bible said if the love of the world is in me, the love of God is not there. My Bible tells me if I don't love my brother who I see, I don't love God whom I haven't seen. The Bible tells me if I love God, I'll keep His words. Put the thermometer on you and see if you love Him. Oh, my goodness. I can't see the clock without my glasses. Just kind of forget I got them. One day, I'm going to quit down next 30, 40 minutes. One day, nobody in the house, no one, but just Potiphar's wife and Joseph. Potiphar's out somewhere, gone for some days. And Joseph went in the house, and she actually attacked him. She attacked him. She laid her hands on him. And you're going to lie with me. And he said, listen, my master Potiphar has put this house, everything in this house under me but you. And I can't sin against my God and do this thing. And he ran. He had to get out of there without his garments. Enough circumstantial evidence to condemn anybody in the world. Everybody believed Potiphar's wife. The Egyptian servants came in. She told them, that man that he brought in here, he attacked me. Look, he has his coat. They believed him. Potiphar came in. They believed him. Or Potiphar did. Put Joseph in a dungeon. But no wonder where you put him. He keeps himself in the love of God. Praise the Lord. That'll keep you, my friends. It makes no difference how long your term may be. 4 years, 3 years, 6 years. But you go and never come back. The love of God will keep you wherever you may be. And that's all that will keep you. That's all. Don't depend on nothing else. You begin to stand on something else, it's going to crack under you. It's going to break under you. But when you trust in the love of God and keep the love of God in your heart, it'll keep you in the very jaws of hell. It'll keep you right in the presence of the devil. It'll keep you. It'll keep you. And nothing else will. Nothing else. Nothing. 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 God bless you. Bless you. Those simple little words. Keep yourselves. Keep yourselves. There's times that I just all but lay hands on myself. Lay my hands on myself. You're going to pray. You're going to read the Bible. And there's no use to say that little things don't come disappointed. You're not going to entertain that, no. Love God. Love God. And this will just shed off. Oh, look. Do you love Him? Oh, did it, Jesus. Oh, did it, Jesus. Oh, did it, Jesus. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what kept them in Babylon? What kept them? Why didn't those three Hebrews bow down? Why was Daniel put in a den of lions? Nothing more or less than the love of God. And it kept them. It kept them. It kept them. A lot of people would like to have the testimony Daniel had that went through the den of lions and they didn't touch him. I tell you what. You practiced the consistent devotion and worship that he practiced.
God will walk through lion's dens with you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.